Gold Mary in the bag tied around my handy for my protection. I'm walking around with a big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, and dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out of the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Urban, urban, urban.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. And I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I am here with my able and trusty assistant and sidekick, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm excited again. These changes.
All right. So, you know, in order to make these changes, we need to, you know, I was reading something over the weekend. Bill and Melinda Gates funded this study that looked at the risk factors for disease and death in this in our community. And the number one cause of death in this country is nutrition, our diet, what we eat. All right. Nutrition has overtaken smoking.
Wow.
As being the number one cause of death in this country. And so in order to develop these healthy menus, we need to know how to do it. And so I've asked Sister Paula Jacobs to come back with us and help us get started. How you doing, Sister Paula?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. You did such a good job last week. We had to bring you back, you know.
Well, thank you for having me.
One person said that developing healthy menus is like crafting a symphony for the body.
Every
ingredient plays a vital role, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you hear that, Paula, Sister Paula, what did that make you think of?
I really like that illustration. It makes me think of a symphony, things that go together very well, that pair together very well. And so when we look at our plate, we can look at what we want to feed our bodies.
Yes.
And so I think one of the best ways to do that is to plan our plate with plants.
Plan our plate with plants. All right. So even before we go there, you know, we have to consider who we're cooking for, right? You know, what's their age? What activity level? Are there any diet restrictions? Do they have allergies and so forth? These are all things, you know. A menu for a marathon runner would look different from somebody who's sedentary. And so these are things, you know. And then what's your goal? What are you trying to achieve? You know, you're trying to lose weight. You're trying to increase your energy. Trying to get better brain or heart health. You know, exactly what is going on. And so once we start looking at that, then we start looking at, well, what actually makes up that plate?
Right.
A plate full of plants. Now these are whole foods.
Yes. Whole foods.
Whole foods. Whole foods contain all these macronutrients that are the building blocks for your health. You know, it's amazing to me, you know, as we were talking earlier today not long ago, I was thinking we literally plan, when we plan our diets, whether we're going to live or whether we're going to die, whether we're going to be healthy or whether we're going to be diseased. We plan that whether we know it or not.
Mercy.
All right? Wow. And I think that, Sister Paula, that as we look at that plate, most people don't really appreciate what they're doing. They're planning something that's going to taste good. And as I've said many times on this program, I love my food to taste good. So I ain't knocking food tasting good.
Right.
But if there's a choice between living and enjoying, I'm gonna take living. I'm sorry. I know I'm crazy, but I like, there's something about living, breathing, not being in pain, you know, not being on a whole bunch of medicines that I just sort of like. But as we get into it, Sister Paula, when we look at that plate full of plants, especially if those plants are coming from your garden. You know,
yes, indeed.
I mean, they're gonna taste good.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna taste great. That's right.
And especially if you grow them organically, Brother Frank.
Yes, yes.
What were you telling me about these organic things? This experiment.
I've got to send you the video, but I saw a video over the weekend. This guy, the scientist, had worms. Broccoli, organic broccoli versus the inorganic broccoli. He fed them both, and the worms rejected the inorganic broccoli. He did the same with the cauliflower, organic cauliflower, inorganic cauliflower. The worms went for the organic cauliflower. We also should do that.
You know, there's something about, you know, I've talked about, you know, whole grain versus processed grain. You put a piece of bread on the ground. One is whole grain and one is processed, and let some roaches go. The roaches go right over the process and go straight to the whole grain. Even roaches have better sense than we have.
The fungus knows it too. You know, the bread will mold faster.
The fungus don't want that processed stuff because it has no nutrient value. How does funguses and roaches and worms have better sense than we have? I'm getting sidetracked. Sister Paula, talk about that plate.
Sure. So when we look at our plate, the USDA recommends that at least half of our plate be filled with fruits and vegetables.
So the USDA says half. So we'll say at least 2/3.
Yes. At least 2/3. And so the macronutrients include carbohydrates, protein, and fats.
which we discussed last week. But just give us a 30-second review of what's a carbohydrate, what's a protein, and what's a fat.
Sure. So a carbohydrate is a long chain carbon that consists of fruits, vegetables, and the body breaks it down into glucose, which gives your cells the energy it needs to do their job. And there are three kinds of carbs. There can be a fiber, a starch, and just plain sugar.
All right. All right. But go ahead.
And you want most of your main source of fuel to come from carbohydrates. So the larger amount of your calories to come from carbohydrates, about 65% or so.
So now this word sugar, it's mm-hmm. sort of, you know, we need to come up with different words because mm-hmm. You know, there's sugar and then there's sugar. When you get sugar from a apple, that sugar is different than you get it from a candy bar.
Absolutely.
And why is that?
Well, when you get it from an apple, the apple is packed with fiber, water, vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, antioxidants, plenty of good things that help you feel full longer. They help regulate blood sugar. They lower cholesterol. And many of these healthy carbs are found in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. And apples is one of the best fruits that you can have.
So, what about that candy sugar?
The candy sugar is something we want to stay away from or run away from because it breeds disease, right? So
it's processed. It's processed. It's processed. Mm-hmm. All that good stuff that you talked about in that apple has been taken out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. And then they replace it with a few coal tar vitamins and different things and call it enriched. You know,
right,
and we're fool enough to believe that. So you mentioned the carbs, and then there's the protein. What's a protein?
So protein is made out of amino acids. It's really the building blocks of your body, and your body needs protein to build muscle, repair cells, grow new ones, support your immune system. Many of the enzymes and hormones are made of proteins. And so there are very important proteins that are part of our cells, part of our cellular fluids, like albumin. That's one of them. But many, many things in the body are made out of protein. And so we need good sources of protein that come from plants, and that does not have any the bad fats or bad they're not processed.
So you mentioned albumin, and we're able to measure albumin. Albumin is made in the liver, and we say that it's the number one intraosmotic protein, meaning that it sort of holds the fluid into the bloodstream. It doesn't allow it to go out. So I had a patient today who has some edema and his albumin was low. And instead of sending him for infusions of albumin or telling him to go ahead and eat a lot of meat, I told him mm-hmm. to go get some spirulina and barley green. So he could have some amino acids that would rebuild the protein. Now why did I tell him that? You weren't on the conversation, but just knowing how I think, why did I tell him that he needed to go get some foods rich in amino acids?
Because those amino acids will actually build the proteins that he will need, mm-hmm. and it be coming from good sources. And so spirulina is one of those that is replete with amino acids that will help build the proteins. The amino acids are the building blocks of those proteins.
All right, all right. And then lastly, you mentioned one of those macronutrients were fats.
Yes.
Now people sort of get turned off by fats, but we actually need fats, right?
Oh yes, we need fats, and we need the good fats. And so there are healthy fats that we can indulge in and make a part of our everyday diet. Things like avocados, a handful of nuts and or seeds, plant oils, like avocado oil or walnut oil, coconut oil, which is actually a medium chain fatty acid that our body utilizes very well. And so there are many plant sources that olive oil, that's another monounsaturated fat. And those are just some examples of where we can get our healthy fats from.
Healthy fat. All right. Mm-hmm. So now they say that these fruits and vegetables also offer color to the plate.
Oh, yes.
Color to the plate. Why is that significant?
Oh, that's such a great question. I love that question. It's amazing how God has made these fruits and vegetables, because the more color they have, the more nutrients they have. They're packed with vitamins, with minerals, antioxidants, and fiber. And so many of you have probably heard the saying, eat the rainbow. And what they're saying is to aim for the rainbow of colors. Each color is significant and offers different benefits. So, for example, the reds would most likely be colored with lycopene, or in some cases,
you know, is good for the prostate,
mm-hmm.
among other things.
Among other things, there are many others. Some of the yellow and orange vegetables would be colored based on beta carotene, and that is a precursor to vitamin A. There are so many others, like some of the blues and deep reds are colored with something. The pigment is called anthocyanins. And those have many antioxidant properties.
Powerful. One of the most powerful fruits that I'm aware of is those blueberries.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
And strawberries too, but the blueberries especially, just jam packed with those anthocyanins that you're talking about, and it's so. If you look, you'll see how they're beneficial for diabetes, for cancer, for heart disease. You know, just name it, and they're loaded with it. So fiber is so important, and fiber seems to be in all of those foods you're talking about.
Every single last one of those foods, fiber is a part of. Fiber is in the makeup of the fruit and vegetables. And so fiber is so important because it helps to keep us full or satisfied in a meal, which means it has implications for weight control or weight management. It also helps to lower or maintain a blood sugar, regulate blood sugar. Mm-hmm. It has so many benefits to the fiber.
All right. So and we didn't get a chance to invite our audience last week. Paula was rolling, so we want to make sure that if you have a question or comment, you can call. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202 588-0893. Call with questions or comments for our guests. We're talking about how to build or develop healthy menus. And so to start, Sister Paula is giving us just some basic things. And she talked about plants for the plate. Plants for the plate. That I hadn't heard that one before, Paula. That's an outstanding one. And then she talked about what about that rainbow?
Oh yes, eating the rainbow.
Eating the rainbow.
Yes, eating the rainbow. Like some of the red fruits and vegetables: strawberries, cherries, pomegranates, cranberries, red apples, watermelon, red grapes. Some of the red vegetables: tomatoes, beets, red cabbage, red peppers, radishes. Orange and yellow is just as replete with the beta carotene. That could include the oranges, mangoes, peaches, papaya, cantaloupe, or carrots, squash, pumpkin, yellow peppers. And then, of course, we know many of us are familiar with the greens. And many of the greens include not just fiber, but something called sulforaphanes, which help to prevent cancer. But some of the green vegetables that have those sulforaphanes are the broccoli, the cabbage, broccoli rob, kale, Brussels sprouts. And there are other green vegetables: collards, zucchini, green pepper, peas. Some of the green fruits: green apples, kiwi, green grapes, lime, avocado. And last but not least, the blues and the purples, just like you said earlier, the blueberries, they are so packed with anthocyanins, or plant chemicals, should we say, or phytochemicals that fight disease, that increase blood flow, that are packed with fiber, that are packed with vitamin C, that have been associated with lowering the risk of cancer. Blueberries, blackberries, plums, purple grapes, figs, raisins. Some of the blue or purple vegetables would include eggplants, purple cabbage, purple potatoes, purple carrots. You know, and so
Are these natural? Are they genetically? Are they engineered? These
purples of fruits and vegetables are natural. That's how God made them from the ground, and they are very potent with anti-cancer properties.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
It tastes good, I'm telling you.
Oh, they taste great. They taste great.
And we're used to eating certain things, and they're proliferated, but there are many options that we have. And that's one of the things that people need to understand. You may not like one thing, but it doesn't mean that you won't like another. And so we need an open mind, and we need to search. Do research. You know, when we want to buy a dress or a suit, we take the time to do the research, because we want to get the right one for us. We should do the same kinds of things when it comes to our foods and make sure that we get the ones. And so we were trying to give you some basic knowledge so that you understand as you go and fill up that plate.
Yes.
With the plants and the other foods. Now, you know, you talked about the fiber but fiber has so many. You know, we talk about prebiotics and probiotics, and the fiber has a role to play in that. So that when that fiber gets down to the colon, good bacteria act on it and it converts it into, the second brain of the body, you know, engineering our immune system, you know.
Yeah.
Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0892. Let's go to the phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your show and to your guests also. I've been, like I said, I'm trying to get back on track again. I got on the scale this morning and I went into shock again. So I know what I'm supposed to do because I listen to your show. I know what I should do. You know how you don't do it, but then you say, okay, when I listen to your show, I get activated. So I'm activated now. But I was wanting to ask you, you mentioned something last year about not going anywhere near white rice, and I love white rice. So I know I have to give that up. But you mentioned there's an oriental rice that we can get that you can eat as an alternative.
You may have misheard me. I've not said you can't eat white rice. I said you can't eat processed white rice.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there are some whole grain white rices. Am I correct, Sister Paula?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Grain white rice.
Yeah, so if they're whole grain, but even the whole grain white rice, I suggest, and you can go online and they will show you how to wash that rice and wash the starch out of the rice.
Oh.
You know, when you first put some little cold water on that rice, it gets cloudy.
Yes, I thought that was good.
Wash it. Wash the cloud out. The water is clear.
And
it's amazing. I saw a demonstration of that. And it turns out Africans knew about that long before we did.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
All right? Because we were demonstrating to a bunch of Africans. Oh, we do that. We've been doing that for years. Yeah, all right? And you can see the starch will just settle at the bottom of the pan if you just let it sit there a while, you know.
Okay.
There are white rice.
A special store to get the whole grain, or can you just go to Giant or Safeway?
Well, I don't want to be disrespectful, but I tend not to shop at those places.
Okay, I understand. I totally understand.
I go to places that specialize in healthy foods.
Okay, yeah. It's something you can get. Can you get it online? Because I'm a caregiver to my daughter with cerebral palsy, so sometimes I can't get out.
Yeah, you can get at
Basmati rice,
but get California grown rice if you can.
Okay,
it's less. It has less arsenic in it.
Oh, okay. So, oh, Jesus.
And just in terms of arsenic. You can use turmeric, and that helps to decrease the side effects of the arsenic.
I do take turmeric daily.
Yeah. So, Sister Paula.
Yes.
Is jasmine is a whole grain, isn't it?
Yes.
All right.
And basmati.
Jasmine rice.
Jasmine.
There's a brand called Lundberg, Lundberg, and they carry an organic form of the California white jasmine rice.
Right.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Get it organic. Get it organic.
Right. Oh, I feel so much better already. Thank you. I wish regular doctors knew this, but you know they don't, so thank you so much for your show.
They know what they're taught.
Yes, nothing.
All right. Thank you so much. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to the phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hello, Doc. I have a question. I was going to cut my grass the other day and it's full of dandelions. So a friend told me I could make tea, I could fry it. But what I did was... I cut the yellow part off the dandelion flower, and I put it in with a salad with tomato and onion. And I was wondering, I felt so much better. Like, I did it for 2 days, so, like, it cut down on my aches and pains. I'm 82, so, you know.
All right, young man.
Yes.
So can you tell me about the dandelion flowers, you know, if you know, I'm going to, it's, they have gone in today, but when the sun comes out, I think they might come out again. So
it's the whole
plant. Can you tell me about?
You can use the whole plant.
Yeah, I was just going to tell you that you could use the whole plant of the dandelion. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The dandelion root is good. Yeah. It's good for the kidneys. The dandelion leaf is good to get rid of edema. You know.
Okay.
You know, I'm not familiar with the flower itself. Ms. Jacobs, are you familiar with the flower as far as nutritional value?
Yeah, well, a little bit. The flowers contain vitamins A, C, and D, as well as what they call phenolic compounds, which help to enhance immunity and fight off infections. The dandelion flowers, they can also help with regulating blood pressure due to their potassium content.
Mm-hmm. Good information, because I'll be checking on some of those vitamins and minerals. So anyway, I appreciate talking with you, and I just thought I'd. It made me feel better for a couple of days.
Fantastic. Keep it up. And add some other things. There's some other plants that grow wild in our yard that's very, very good. You know?
Yes.
You hear poke root, poke salad. All right. Paula, you don't know about no poke salad. I know you're too young. But the old folk, old man Frank, he knows about poke salad. and the root of the poke, it grows wild in this area. And the root is one of the best things that I've seen for cancer.
Yeah.
Now what you have to do. You can't just take that root and just boil it and drink it. You have to boil it, pour the water out, and then drink it, because it contains arsenic. And if you drink it at first, it can damage. But you do it three times, or you dry it. If you dry it, then you don't have to boil it, but the one time. You know, so there are other roots I know that grow wild. And we just over them, you know, or we put some pesticides. I mean, some things to kill it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was listening to the radio some years ago, and they were naming all these things that these pesticides would kill, and I said, "That's all the good foods we need to be taking in." Yeah. But anyway, digress. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Now, Sister Paula, there are a couple fats that there's. Saturated fat, there's unsaturated fat, and then there's this new fat called trans fats. What in the world is a trans fat?
Yes, you're right. A trans fat is a fat. It's not a natural fat. It is a type.
It's not natural.
Mm-mm. No. But it has a lot of unhealthy risks associated with consuming it, especially risk of heart disease and or heart attack.
Mm-hmm. So why do so many of the food products contain these trans fats?
Right. So many of the processed foods have added trans fats, some of them to increase the shelf life of that particular food. Now, there are small amounts of trans fats that occur naturally in meat or dairy products from ruminant animals, but most of the trans fats have been created by adding to the chemical formula, adding hydrogen to the formula. They come up with something called partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, and those are the absolute worst. You do not want to eat that or consume that, because it can increase your risk of heart disease.
It can kill you. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And specifically
kill you slowly.
Specifically increase LDL cholesterol and lower the good, or what we call HDL cholesterol, by it. And so that's how it increases your risk of heart attack.
Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phones. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, sir. This is me.
Yes, this is you.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Dr. Watkins?
Man, Lord is good to me.
Couple questions. You know, I've been dealing with this diabetes for the last 10 years, right?
That's because you haven't called me. But go ahead. Question, I'm sorry.
But with the question I got, about 8 months ago, a doctor put me on this medicine called Mounjaro.
Uh-huh.
Well, I shoot it once a week. And it's got my A1C down to 6.0.
You're still pre-diabetic.
Yeah. I mean, I use your pills too, but I never got no lower than 9 or 8, 9.
So it's not just the pills. You have to lose the weight.
Yep.
And you have to change your diet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part I want to try to figure out. Because I don't want to keep shooting myself with this Mounjaro.
Yeah, you have to change your diet. You have to increase your exercise. But the first thing is you have to change your thinking. All right? That's the first thing that has to happen. You change your thinking, and you just, like you now, you're ready to roll. So,
yeah.
What we do, we put our patients on our cleansing program, and then we change their diet. We get them on a good walking program, and the numbers come down and stay down because we actually reverse the disease. The medications, as I mentioned before, the medications don't reverse the disease. They will get rid of the symptoms. They'll bring your numbers down, but they will not reverse the disease.
Temporarily.
But I heard the earlier part where y'all was talking about all them stuff as far as fruits and vegetables. I wish I could get a list of everything you talked about just now.
Well, you can go back and listen to the program and the list, but also you can call Sister Paula and she'll give you the list. We'll give her number in a few minutes. But you know, let's get together, let's go on and in diabetes now. That's our program.
Because I'm at that stage where my A1C ain't but 6.0, and I only shoot.
It's not 6.0. All the complications of diabetes start in the pre-diabetic phase.
Right.
Actually, they start before you're pre-diabetic. All right. So
yes, sir.
Just get to 6.1, and some doctors tell folk get to 7. I said they ought to be sued. You know, but tell people that. I mean, that's ridiculous. But at any rate, you need to be normal, and you need to be normal without any medication.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I want to stay normal, but I don't want to take this Mounjaro.
You got to get normal before you can stay normal.
what's normal?
And because you keep talking as if 6 is normal. 6 is not normal.
No.
Okay. No. That's what I'm going to say. Where I need to be at as far as normal?
You need to be at least 5.6.
Okay.
But I would aim to get down into the 4s.
Yeah, or 3.
And you can do it. We have patients doing it all the time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Stay tuned and we'll give you Paula's number. The number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hey, all right. Good morning. Good morning. Excellent day. Excellent conversation and whatnot. My question is, in the early stages of changing one's diet, your mindset is okay. You're moving forward, trying to get to a better diet. And I don't mean a diet, just a better eating foods.
Yes, and yes.
You're having problems with, you're getting hungry at night. You're eating a good breakfast, a good meal during the day, but then it seems like, and I'm calling because I'm watching the symptoms of someone that's really close to me, and I want to know what to tell them at that point when she's having that, I call it a false hunger pain sense. That's because I know when they ate last, I'm hungry, you know. I'm thinking to myself, she's not really hungry. That's something else. So can you help me?
Sister Paula.
Yes.
What can a person do at night to satisfy that craving? They had their supper at a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm.
What else can they do? Is there some little snack or something, or drink some water, or what should they do?
Yes, they can. There's a couple of things that they can do. There are some low calorie snacks that you can either eat or even juice. I would say a vegetable juice, like with celery. Or celery and carrot, or celery and greens, and with just a little bit of apple, I would say that's one option. For some people, if their digestion would allow, a small, very small handful of nuts could help. For other people, I would say a non-dairy milk with molasses in it.
My question to
or
that
some
is,
tea.
What is causing that person to have that? Is it the craving for sugar or something? Because it's something, you want something sweet more than likely.
Okay. It could be a craving for something sweet. I would have to talk with you off of the air and find out what your diet consists of on a normal basis to kind of pinpoint that. But even a fruit like an apple is low calorie. It's it's low carb, but it has fiber in it, and usually something with it could satisfy the little bit of that sweet desire for something sweet, but it balances out with the fiber. And so you would be.
So is it fair to say to them that, oh, you're not really hungry, you're just craving something sweet? And with that knowledge, and then
I wouldn't approach it that way, personally.
Uh-huh.
But it has to start in the mind.
Yes,
it has to start in the mind. They have to really want to make the changes necessary. They need to read. They need to see the value of the kind of things that we're talking about today. That's why we're taking our time and there's so much material, but we're just scratching the surface, but we will keep coming back and giving more and more information because it's so critical. And people have to change the thinking. They have to recognize that when they sit down and plan that menu or don't plan it and just do it, that they're planning life or they're planning death. They're executing life or they're executing death. It's just that simple.
A question to Paula. Paula, how many, just off the top, can you give me an estimate of how many additives have been put into food since about 1950? And I'm going to hang up. That's going to tell us a lot.
There's a considerable amount of additives that have been added to food You said 1950?
Yes, ma'am.
There's a considerable amount of additives. Also, since the 1950s, 60s, there are some brand types of wheat that have been genetically modified. Some vegetables have been genetically modified as well. So I could publish a list for you if that would be helpful to you.
Yes, I think that list would be helpful to a lot of folks so they could understand the progression of.
There's roughly between 800 and even up to 10,000 additives that have been added to different foods over the decades.
And they weren't needed before 1950.
Exactly.
And it's all about making money. They don't care about us. They don't care about our bodies.
That's right.
What my thing is that we have to start caring about our own bodies. All right.
You have to.
We can't complain about what they do. They got to see if we make some changes because these people want to make money, they'll change to give us what we want. But we have to demand it. You know, we did a show with Dr. Drakes and Dr.
Mills.
Kotlin. You know,
we talked
about the fact that there are many countries that import things from the United States, but they don't import what we import. You know, like oatmeal that we have here ain't the same as oatmeal that goes to Canada or to Europe.
Oh, wow.
Because they will not accept the I was gonna say crap that we accept. you know, they just won't accept it. And so when we decide that we're gonna stand up and do the right thing, then that's gonna happen. Now there's so much
thank you.
You're more than welcome. There's so much information, Sister Paula. If there's one or two things, because the time is about gone. We just got about 4 minutes to go. If there's just one or two basic principles that you can tell a person when they're getting ready to plan a meal, what would be the two perhaps most important things?
Okay, two of the most important things you want to have: something green on your plate, a plant protein like some beans, tofu, tempeh, mostly beans. I really like the fiber that's in the beans, and something, make sure it's fresh, by 2 to 3 cups throughout the day. You want to at least have a fruits and vegetables. Always look to the plant kingdom. You can never go wrong.
You look to the plant kingdom, you can never go wrong. And so we talked about the grains, we talked about the nuts, we talked about the seeds, you know, all of these things, and they're best in their whole form. They're best in their whole form. And that would be the thing that I would say. Whole food, plant-based is the best way to go. And that's what the literature shows us in terms of extending life. So let's start planning life and not planning death.
Yes.
Frank, you have any closing comments? And Sister Paula, we just appreciate it. We need to get your information. Frank will get that in a moment here.
Yes.
Someone needs to contact you.
Sure.
Yes. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Paula, of some valuable information. We didn't present all that we could have, but stay tuned next week because we're going to do more for sure. Paula, your contact information if someone wants to contact you.
Sure. I can be contacted at area code 256 945 3907. And email is pthomps80@gmail.com.
Repeat that.
Yes. Please. That's P as in Paul, T as in Tom, H as in Harry, O as in Oscar, M as in Mary, P as in Peter, S as in Sam, 80@gmail.com.
And repeat the phone number as well.
Yes, that's 256-945-3907.
Thank you, Paula.
Oh, thank you all.
Yeah. Doc, this is a tremendous information. We thank you for it. If someone wants to contact you and make an appointment, call 202-388-0992, Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. That's 202-388-0992. Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. Or you can go up to twiliving.com. That's TWI for the Watkins Institute, living, not dead, living.com, twiliving.com. We want to thank Magic Mike, Mayuki, our engineers, Cody, and Kalia. We want to thank Katia Stitt, our program director, and Sataria, and all of the WPFW staff, listeners, volunteers, and just the community in general. Thank you, Joni Eisenberg, for helping to keep DC healthy politically, socially, and other ways. Thank you, Ola Dari and Maka B, for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW all day long, if you can, for music and jazz and justice. Next up is the African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. After that, we have probably a repeat of Ambrose Lane Jr. of To the East. Stay tuned next week for another life-saving edition of To Your Health. And we're going to concentrate on nutrition and particularly meal planning, because this is very important.
Very.
Cody. Mm-hmm.
I tell on a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and leave the animals to give birth. No deaders, no fur, no feathers. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee.
WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th, 7 to 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt. Entertainment includes Navasha Deya and more. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at wpfwfm.org.
To get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. For nearly 5 decades, support from listeners like you has kept WPFW's wheels rolling. In fact, the single largest category of donations comes from those who donate an unused car to the station. That's right, running or not. Even a car sitting idle that needs thousands of dollars in repairs can do wonders for WPFW. If you can't drive it, donate it. WPFW will get the proceeds, and you'll get a tax break. go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is meeting with President Trump in D.C. today, becoming the first foreign leader to visit Trump since he unleashed tariffs on countries around the world. To be exact, Trump announced so-called reciprocal tariffs last week on imports from about 90 nations, adding to a 10% global tax applied to all products shipped to the United States. The outcome of the meeting between Netanyahu and Trump can impact how other world leaders try to address the new tariffs. Speaking of new tariffs, the president said today that the United States will apply an additional 50% tariff on imports from China starting this Wednesday, April 9th, if the Asian nation does not withdraw its plan to impose a retaliatory 34% import fee on American products by tomorrow, April 8th. Because tariffs are paid by U.S. importers, they are typically passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices, increasing the likelihood that inflation will reignite this year. 30 days. That's how much time remains before the Real ID deadline comes. So starting on May 7th, 30 days from now, a Real ID or other federally approved identification will be needed in order to board domestic flights. All 50 states, along with Washington, D.C., and the five U.S. territories are Real ID compliant and are issuing Real ID compliant driver's licenses and IDs. Older IDs will still be suitable to allow people to drive and buy liquor or other age-regulated products. But Real IDs will be necessary to board flights within the United States and to access certain federal facilities. However, the Real ID does not replace a passport, which you will still need for international travel. To apply for a Real ID, travelers should visit their local DMV office and fill out the online application and upload their documents. To your local news, in New York City, thousands of people protested in the area over the weekend as part of the nationwide hands-off movement against the Trump administration's recent actions. At least one protest was planned in every state, according to organizers, which included more than 150 groups, such as the American Civil Liberties Union. In New York, the massive turnout shut down part of Midtown Manhattan. People marched for different reasons, including protesting government downsizing, threats to human rights, and decreased funding for Medicare and Medicaid, Social Security, and other programs. Donna Lieberman, the executive director of the New York Civil Liberties Union, said of the marches, and I quote, "New Yorkers are here today. Americans around the country are out in the streets saying, no way, we're not going to give up without a fight," end quote. To the D.C. area, last month, a man living in Maryland was one of more than 230 men of Venezuelan descent that were removed from the United States by the Trump administration and sent to El Salvador based on mere suspicion that they were gang members. It was ruled that the man from Maryland, a father of three named Kilmar Abrego Garcia, was mistakenly deported from Maryland to El Salvador due to an administrative error. Trump attorneys have admitted to this administrative error in court filings, but said they could not bring Mr. Garcia back to the United States because he is in Salvadoran custody. Meanwhile, a lower court ordered officials to bring Mr. Garcia back to Maryland, but today the Trump administration is urging the Supreme Court to block that lower court's order to return Mr. Garcia, calling their order, quote, judicial overreach. However, without the Supreme Court's intervention, the government has until 11:59 p.m. tonight to bring Kilmar Garcia back to the United States. In today's weather, it's about 43 degrees in New York and 45 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.